Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan, live from our Half Street studios in Southeast D.C., just down the street from Nationals Park. Getting ready for four playoff games in the NFL tomorrow. Not to mention JMU here locally. Got a lot of fans playing the national championship game at their level tomorrow afternoon as well.
Go Dukes.
Joined in studio right now by Jermon Bushrod, who was in the Super Bowl and starting left tackle for the Saints when they won their title over the Colts in the 2010 calendar year. But you played in the playoffs five different seasons, two different organizations, your first stint with New Orleans three times.
Yep.
You went to Miami and under Adam Gase made the playoffs against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then last year you were on that Saints team.
What happened then?
I don't even want to bring this up.
We can talk about it. I was over it, but then you brought it back up. So.
Your last playoff game ever, where you guys game. In the NFC Championship game, you were going to get back to a Super Bowl, and you guys got completely robbed by the officials. But five playoffs worth of NFL career that spanned 2007 to 2018 with New Orleans, an amazing run. Appreciate you coming in with us.
I appreciate you having me, man. This is great to be here with you guys again.
So, Danny, you know this. So, Jermon went to King George High School.
That's right.
He was a senior at King George when I was actually in eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
So, while I wasn't in the school yet, I had a brother who was a senior with him, knew him pretty well. He was over at the house from time to time. And I was I don't even know what I would call myself. Maybe just a fanboy of that team. Because you guys were like a really good high school team. But I was kind of keeping stats, and I would travel on the bus with them. And
You started early.
I was trying to basically become like their offensive coordinator, but they didn't want to let me do that.
Just drawing up plays on
right,
line
exactly.
paper. Yeah.
So I was just basically hanging around, but those guys were always really nice to me.
So I had the same, not as cool an experience, but the same thing for me with Jonathan Ogden, who was a senior I was in eighth grade. And like, you know, I knew some of just a small little private school, so I knew some of the guys that were upperclassmen from like summer coaching were like, I'm precocious. I say funny things. And, like, they kind of let me, like, put me in a trash can once as a joke because I was such a loud mouth. But it's neat, man. It's really cool that you give him the time of day.
No, man. Just to look at his story and where he is, where he's at now and where you started from is pretty significant. So it's pretty cool to be up here with you right now.
Well, I appreciate you, buddy. So they always joke because I got to be the Grand Marshal in like the King George Parade.
They were
making fun of me when I was in like the King George Sports Hall of Fame or
whatever. It's a big deal. The Fall Festival is a big deal.
It's a big deal.
You had to carry the goat.
But this
right?
is the guy. Like you always act like they have statues of me. This is the guy in King George County.
Well, he got Jermon the first Bushrod. Statue, but you got like you're getting the third one. The telephone and the count is named
after
you.
That's not being planned yet. I'm telling you, he's the one that's putting in football fields. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I get you.
He's our guy, and we're very very proud of you. So congrats on everything. Thing and a heck of a career.
Thank you.
And when you were done playing at King George, you went and played at Towson.
Yes.
And at that time, I don't know if you thought you were going to the NFL or if you thought being a starting tackle on a Super Bowl team and in the Pro Bowl was a possibility, but Towson to the NFL doesn't happen that often either.
NFL was not on my radar when I went to Towson. I mean, let's be real about it. It wasn't a football powerhouse. I mean, over the years, we've been able to win some games. We had an opportunity to play in a national championship kind of this same weekend against North Dakota State. I believe they're in it again. So, you know, I wasn't on the national championship team, but, you know, we're going in the right direction here at Towson University. But it was a conversation. It was a coach that I met that kind of just changed my whole mindset, how to be a better leader, how to work harder. And, you know, I just wanted to continue to write the book. And we closed a chapter on the NFL, and I never thought I would be where I was. I had that opportunity, but I just thank God for the people that he put in my life.
So playing in the NFL, it's just, you know, for especially coming from a small college that's not a football powerhouse. I mean, guys, like, play at Ohio State, you play in front of 110,000, then you go play at FedEx, you're playing in front of 45, 30 with your Eagles fans,
think
right?
Think about Haskins. We talked about this. He had a better
facility, locker room at
Ohio State.
I mean,
some
of these college programs, you see some of these pictures, I think LSU has, like, one of the newer ones. That looks better than all the NFL locker rooms I've been in combined.
Right.
They look serious. You
it's
know?
A great facility. Every right. video game you can imagine,
well,
all the chairs.
The assistants in this national championship game, LSU versus Clemson,
uh-huh.
on each staff, I think the combined average number is like $27 million that the coaching staffs are making.
Amazing. Wow.
So you add that to the facilities, it is nuts.
So, but the point I was making is you go from, you know, whatever, mid-major, small college, whatever, it's got to be at first like a wide-eyed experience. You're playing on Sundays.
Oh,
you're
sure.
a pro. Then contrast that to now it's a playoff game.
Right.
What's the difference there? Because, I mean, the intensity's got to ratchet up already as now you're just a pro. You've made it in the league. Now you're playing a postseason game. What's the difference? Walk me through that.
Well, it's all steps. You know, when I had the opportunity, when I got drafted, that's just part of the step. Then you step on the field for preseason, and you're in the Superdome. And I came from Towson, where our stadium fit 10, but we might have put 5,000 or 6,000 people in it. And then my first game, actually my first game was a Hall of Fame game, so that's not really the stadium that you're really juiced up to play in. But my first game in the Dome, it was like, okay, it's kind of a wild feeling, it's a surreal feeling. And but at the end of the day, it's like you just got to go find a way to take care of business,
mm-hmm.
because I want to go and do bigger and better things.
Right.
And I had the opportunity to get my first start. That was a big deal for me. Once I got a start, it just, you know, segued into to the next thing, to the next game, to the next game. And now the playoffs come, and you just have to change your mindset. You know, the way you approach a game, it's the same, but you have to understand your focus. It's a win or go home type of attitude. But just looking at the situation, when I look back at it, it's very significant. Very significant. And like I said, I don't know how I got here, but I'm just glad I had some people in my life that believed in me and pushed me way harder than I would ever push myself.
Jermont Bushrod's in studio with us on Grant and Danny, a native of King George County, doing a lot of good in the community in KG and the surrounding areas. And we'll talk about some of the ventures you've got now. But in talking about the playoffs, you get there 5 times, you get to the Super Bowl, and you really should have been in the Super Bowl twice based on what happened with the Saints last year. If you were able to relive a drive, let's say, and I just put you back on a drive in like October against the Panthers in any of those years with the Saints, and you didn't know what time of year it was and you were on the field in that drive kind of living through it, and then I did the same thing in the playoffs against a team, can you tell a difference? Like when the game starts, is anything faster? Is anything more physical? Or is it just football? Because I always listen to these hot-taking commentators talking about, well, this team's never been here before. I feel like when the ball's in the air, football's just happening.
All of the above, everything you just said. Everything is, okay, so preseason to regular season, it's different. Like, you feel it. The speed of the game is different. From regular season to playoffs, you just got to understand the mindset you're in. If you lose, you're going home. You're not playing anymore. So it's like, if you can't take your focus up another level and understand the situation at hand, it can be very it can get the best of you. I remember.
Is there more angst or nerves at all, like in the huddle, taking the field to start the game?
No. I felt the same before a playoff game, a regular season game, and a preseason game. Getting out there, getting that first hit in, and then once that first hit is over, then I'm calmed down, and then I'm ready to go. But you can definitely tell there's it's a little bit more physical. Guys move; they definitely move faster. You know what I'm saying? Like, they definitely – I remember – I can kind of take you back. You remember that 2011 Niners team?
And oh, that was a good team. That defense. Was the Alex Smith, Vernon Davis team.
Yeah.
We went was an epic game against you guys.
Yeah, we went 13-3 that year, and we didn't even get a bye because they were that good. And when we stepped on the field, to this day I haven't seen a defense move that fast. You know, so it's everything gets ramped up for sure, for sure.
The temptation – and I'm a rube. I don't know anything. But I would guess the first time you go through it, the temptation is, I've got to be so perfect, right? I can't just block my guy. I can't just do my job. I've got to do the best job every. I got to block a guy twice. I got to put him into the ground like Hulk smashing Loki into Trump I'm sure it's Trump Tower into Stark Tower.
Trump Tower.
I'm sure it's a Trump Tower.
I've seen that Loki. Avengers movie. It's Trump Tower.
It's Hulk. Yeah. He smashed him into the dirt. Believe me. So like,
that's actually pretty good.
No thanks. So like you. But like, I imagine the temptation is you put that much kind of pressure on yourself. Did you, A, was that a factor? And then B, as you kind of went forward, did you sort of learn? Because I'm sort of pirating for this Aaron Rodgers clip we played coming in, where it's you actually just have to just do what got you there.
Just be yourself.
Be yourself
just
and do your job.
Do exactly what you did in the regular season to get you there. You don't, you know, if you're doing a run block and you're a guy that tries to finish somebody every single time, then go and do that. But if you're you know, if you're there and you're blocking your guy the best of your ability, you don't have to go and do anything that's out of your norm. You know, just do what you do at just at a little bit of a higher level. Just understand that every possession you have in the playoff time, it's very clutch. So, you know, you got to hold on to the ball. And everything that you talk about, turnovers, staying ahead of the sticks, that's very important come playoff time.
All right, so I told you that we weren't just going to be interviewing you for 2 hours. And starting next, we'll just get into the games, and the three of us in a three-man booth can break down football. But one more question I do have, and I've always kind of wondered this. You played with Drew Brees.
Yes.
And then you made the playoffs and started in a game and played in a game where Matt Moore is your quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
It's no disrespect on a guy like Matt Moore.
But a little bit.
But no, but he's a journeyman, right?
Yeah, right.
Do you go into a playoff game with Brees knowing we're going to be okay because we got Drew Brees, whereas if it's Matt Moore, you're going, we probably aren't making a Super Bowl run because Matt Moore is our quarterback. Like, when I talk to players, they don't seem to think that way, and I wonder if it's put on and it's just them saying what they're supposed to, or do you actually, because you're just in it and you're kind of brainwashed almost like you're in the military or something, where you feel like we could make a run, Matt Moore is good enough.
You got to believe in that guy.
So you really do believe it?
Yeah, I have to, because look, that year we made the playoffs in Miami, Tannehill got hurt against the Cardinals, and Matt Moore was the one who led us to some pretty nice victories to get us to, you know, to clinch the playoffs. And then when we got in the playoffs, you know, you have to take the same approach. Now, granted, when you have somebody like Drew Brees behind there and you've seen his success, I think last time we were on there together, you know, you were there for, I'm sorry, but the Redskins game when he broke that record.
That Monday night game was something.
That game
but
happened.
But, you know, you gotta feel good about having somebody like Drew back there. It was,
you should.
I mean, just to see his work ethic, I don't know if you saw Reggie Bush's video that he posted of how Drew does, he visualizes every single play that he goes
on. Oh, is he that guy? We have a goalie, obviously, Braden Holtby, the Caps, goes through the whole game before it starts.
Drew does the same thing.
I didn't know Brees does that.
I mean, if you click on Reggie's Instagram, you'll see he got some video of Drew. He literally will march down the field, and he knows every single play in the playbook. He knows what every single person is doing, from the lineman to tight end. He knows what every single play. He's the one who calls the mic. When I went to Chicago, I didn't know the center called the mic in a game. Drew called everything. Mm. He'll audible. He'll
well, you see that thing pregame where he'll, you know, he's throwing to a receiver, right, to get guys loose, and then he does the thing where he imagines he has the ball and he goes, "I could have thrown to that guy. Could have thrown to that."
Yeah,
guy.
So that's what. So that's what he does.
It's
so
like oh my god,
when he goes through that progression, he knows where his number one is. Next thing you know, he'll turn. He'll be in the same body position. Mm-hmm. He'll find his number two. He'll find his number three. He'll find his number four, and he redoes the play.
All right, let's start with the first of four games tomorrow, Vikings 49ers. We'll get some keys for each to win. We'll break that game down in detail. And we're being joined in studio by a guy who knows how to win in the playoffs, Jermon Bushrod, who's a Super Bowl champion and a local guy done really well. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Wild card round behind us, and then there were eight in the NFL playoffs. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. 106.7 The Fan. Two games on Saturday, two on Sunday. We're joined in studio by former Super Bowl champion, King George native Jermon Bushrod, talking football as we get you ready for the divisional round. So let's start with the first game, guys. We'll go through all of these. Jermon's in studio with us for a couple hours today. The Vikings and the 49ers in San Francisco. Kickoff slated for 4:35 in this matchup. San Francisco, over the course of the season, a team with 13 wins, a one seed, had some doubters early on, I think, because they didn't play anybody in the first half of the year, but then they started beating good teams. And when they played good teams, they would handle them, like the Green Bay Packers, who they destroyed. Weather's going to be about 56 degrees, shouldn't be a factor. This is the first ever playoff game at Levi Stadium in San Francisco. The telecast will be on NBC, Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth, Michelle Tafoya. Your betting line is San Francisco -7. They're 7-point favorites, Danny. First blush on this game.
This San Francisco defense doesn't get enough attention. They don't get talked about enough as to how truly good they are. Best in the NFL in net yards per pass attempt, net yards allowed per pass attempt, yards per attempt. They are among the leaders, and a lot of times this happens where a team will get upfield here and there and make a few defensive plays but then give up stuff. They don't give up stuff either, and they're still top 5 in tackles for loss. They attack. They get after you. high in terms of sack percentage, among the league leaders in that category as well, top five in that. This is a stingy, excellent defense. You can occasionally, if you get them in the right thing, you can run against them a little bit. They are only, I would say, above average in terms of the running defense. And Minnesota, obviously, is excellent. It's kind of their bread and butter. So San Francisco, I think, finished 10th in terms of yards per attempt allowed in the rush game. That's what Minnesota is going to have to do. If this is we're in 3rd and 7, Minnesota's cooked, in my opinion. San Francisco is really good on that side of the ball.
Minnesota has to, they have to do the same thing that they did in New Orleans. You know, they already took down 1-13-3 team with a pretty good plan. When I went back and looked at the game, the offensive
line. You were
there,
right?
Yeah, I was there. But, you know, I sat in, that was actually my first time sitting in the stands for a game. I went with a couple friends. We were down there shooting a show. And, they were asking me questions like I knew where to go. I was like, I don't know where to go. I go from the locker room to the field, the field to the locker room. But I knew, you know, the Vikings were having, you know, because obviously I retired as a Saint, so, you know, I have, you know, I have a strong connection with the Who Dat Nation. But when I was down there, I could tell they were running the ball. I really couldn't see because I'm trying to watch the whole game. But the Minnesota Vikings did a really good job with their outside zone. And they stuck with it. The offensive line played really well, low pad level. I can see why they had success. They stuck with it early and often, and then you got your receivers a chance to heat up and, you know, off the play action because they ran the ball so well. I think, what, almost 200 yards.
Right? Is Dalvin Cook the perfect fit for that outside zone? It seems like that when they get him toward the edge on some of those stretch runs, and he can cut up the field to get to the second level, he's so dangerous. What's the key? When you say outside zone, we got a lot of listeners maybe that don't even kind of compute what that is. Give us an idea of how their running game works.
As far as outside zone, you have your initial targets that you're looking for. Usually you're looking outside the tackle, inside the tight end. But as a good running back, your eyes are everything, you know, because sometimes you don't know why you can't hit it outside, but maybe you might have to cut it inside the tackle. Sometimes you might have to cut it back. And I got a better understanding of that when we had a playoff run when I was with Miami, Adam Gase's first year. We practiced the outside zone so much. And we used to always run outside zone plays, but I never really understood how they could be successful. We, you know, teams I was on, we kind of mixed up. When I was early with the Saints, we had 3-4 running backs we used. So we would throw a couple outside zones in, some inside zones, some gap scheme runs. But then when I got to Miami, that was our bread and butter. Everything was off of the outside zone. And that was the year Jay Ajayi had a big year. You know, he had 3 200-yard games that year, a couple games over 150. And that's because we just hammered it home. And he had a good understanding of reading his keys, you know, looking outside first and kind of just making his progression. And then once he made the progression, he went with it. But the key to the outside zone is sticking with it. Staying with it all game, even though you might get 2, 3, 4 yards, you might even lose yards one time. But if you keep doing it, you will wear a defense out.
Yeah, because you're making a move.
You're making a move.
And they're going to get a heavy dose of that on D, too, by the way, because Kyle Shanahan runs a lot of that zone. I mean, that is the Mike Shanahan, Alex Gibbs, Gary Kubiak, Kyle, all from that same tree. And you're just moving that line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And those D linemen wear out. If they don't have a big rotation where they can tap guys in one after another, that they're going to be fatigued. I think one key to this game is going to be New Orleans was crazy. So the Vikings just got out of an environment that was probably more difficult than anything they're going to face. Everyone's telling you that Santa Clara and Levi's Stadium is going to be going bonkers because it's the first playoff game
there.
Not
the same.
It's not the same as New Orleans. Indoors where they had Kirk Cousins practice last week whispering cadences and whispering plays.
Oh, you got to.
To his wide receivers because they knew that Stephon Diggs and not that he would have had to know the plays because they never threw to him.
Right.
But Adam Thielen or anybody else, he was whispering because they knew that they wouldn't be able to hear. So I'm not really buying the idea that playing outdoors in San Francisco is going to be something the Vikings can't overcome. I know that it's not ideal. You'd rather be at home. But if you just beat New Orleans on the road, you
gotta
can
feel
beat San
good.
Fran on the road.
You got to feel – you can go into a playoff game. If you look at New Orleans' playoff record – they haven't lost many at home for a long time.
They're like Seattle. You want to get them on the road.
Right.
Exactly. So going into it, I mean, I thought the Saints were going to run away with the game. I'll be honest with you because it's a hectic place to play, but they stuck with what they know. They stuck with the outside zone, and they kept hitting big plays, man.
So, Danny, here's one question I have about the matchup. Mm-hmm. So when San Francisco's offense is on the field,
yep.
Vikings defense is going to have its hands full. George Kittle's a machine. That guy is an animal. I don't know that you have anyone who can defend him. One of the reasons I think Kyle Shanahan's had a field day designing passing plays this year, Kyle Juszczyk is also a weapon. There's not a fullback in the league that gets targeted down the field like that guy.
That's a good point.
Minnesota's secondary is banged up. Mackenzie Alexander's hurt. Mike Hughes is hurt. If you look at Xavier Rhodes, who was the best corner in the league a couple years ago, according to a lot of people, he's had a terrible season. About 83% of the time, completions get thrown on him. Right now, one of the worst totals in the league for a corner. To me, the whole key to their game is Eric Kendricks, their linebacker, who's great. He has the best completion percentage against for a linebacker since 2010 in the NFL.
You want him on Kittle or Juszczyk? How are you going to do it?
Well, I want him on Kittle, I think. And, you know, not necessarily down the field, but I think Kendricks is on Kittle. What they're going to do is Andrew Sandejo on Kittle. He played in the slot about 28 snaps, had the most snaps in the slot this past week. I don't know if Sandejo can play Kittle. In fact, he just got back there. He left and went somewhere else and struggled and came back. I'm putting Kendricks on the tight end. I don't know that they will, but he's their best option to me to cover that tight end.
So here's why that's so effective, because George Kittle is a mauler in the run-blocking game, right? So you've got to respect that. If you don't, if you want to go nickel, that's adorable. That's precious. It's you hear Jimmy G go, kill, 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 and we'll just run it right behind George Kittle down your throat and get 6 yards a pop, but body punches until you finally adjust. Then you can throw to Kittle or Juszczyk, as you alluded to. It's not always about downfield receiving threats with Kyle Shanahan's system in San Francisco. They're really using Deebo Samuel really well, too, especially down the stretch, whether it's the reverses, the jet sweeps, or kind of the short bubble screens that he's now a running back out there in space. He's terrific, and that's kind of a nice weapon for them as well.
San Francisco's run defense got to step up. 4.5 yards per carry this year. They've given up about 112 per game on the ground, 17th in the league.
You
but
can get
misleading.
Them there.
Exactly, because they're up in so many of those games, teams are throwing. So if they're giving up 118 yards a game on the ground when teams are throwing from behind, it tells you they might have been able to get to 125, 130, 135. Remember, Travis Homer, whoever that is, in Seattle 2 weeks ago, ran for well over 100 against them. So they can be gotten. We'll make our pick, Vikings 49ers, next, and we'll get into the second of four NFL games this weekend as we break down the playoffs with Jermon Bushrod, a former Super Bowl champion, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. At 1 o'clock today, the Redskins have made front office changes. Ron Rivera is not only your head coach, but it seems like he's running the show as far as player personnel as well. Figure out how you guys feel about that. In the meantime, we're breaking down all the playoff games this weekend with Jermon Bushrod, who won a Super Bowl with the Saints. One of my buddies from King George County who had a really impressive NFL career. 2007 to 2018. And I should point out now, you do a lot of tremendous work in the community, and there are a lot of people listening to the Fredericksburg area. You do football camps and have all kinds of cool things you do for the youth with your program Visualize and Rise, which you could check out, visualizeandrise.org. But you're not just resting in retirement, man. You're getting after it a little bit.
We got to. You know, I was very fortunate, very blessed to have a good career. So it's only right that I can, you know, pour back into the community. You know, this community raised me, my family, and my friends, and it's just such a unique opportunity for me and the people who are close to me to make an impact. And that's what we're trying to do here to Visualize and Rise. With my Visualize and Rise Foundation, it's been going on for, you know, I've been doing events for 10 and 11 years. Like you said, we have a free youth football camp June 6th, and we have a celebrity golf tournament on June 5th.
So this year, June 5th and 6th?
Yeah. Every year we do it, we do the golf tournament on that Friday.
Yeah.
And then we do the camp on Saturday.
And we do the camp on Saturday. Yeah. So I've been I've been bugging Grant about trying to get you guys down here at my golf tournament.
I want to go out there and broadcast.
Well, the appearance fee is huge. And you know that.
Is it? We'll pay you with food.
That's about
done and
all
done.
It takes.
And other stuff.
Yeah. Food is about all it would take.
That literally
friend.
Is it, actually.
No, I would love to get down there and do that. It'd be a lot of fun.
For
and
sure.
By the way, they have, it's a heck of a list. I mean, it's always, I thought it was the coolest thing in the world as a diehard sports fan, football fan, and then getting into the business and seeing how hard it is sometimes to get players to commit to stuff and to drive to things. Like, I've in the past asked guys, can you do this? They're like, I don't know if I can, but I'll send you this. I mean, he gets big name NFL guys every year, sometimes 7-8 guys from around the league to come.
That's cool.
I know some of the dudes you're tight with still in the playoffs right now, like Mark Ingram has been there, but you guys do a heck of a camp. It's really a job well done.
Yeah, we have a lot of people who spend a lot of time to make sure this thing works, and it's been great. Like you said, we've had Mark, Pierre Thomas. We've had Fred McAfee, Mike McKenzie, Justin Anderson, Torrey Smith. I mean, last year I think we had 12 or 13 guys come through for me.
That's cool. Cool.
And it's very fortunate for me. It's great, you know, that I would have guys who can come back to King George County. And like I said, half the time they come back for the food and the hospitality. So if you guys if you guys can make it June 5th, you'll be back the next year because we're going to treat you right. So
every event that Jermon's involved in, his dad is one of the best cooks, and you've taken after him now. You can cook too.
I'm trying.
I've eaten some of the delicious stuff that you've eaten that you've made me, but. Like, when we have tailgates, whenever Jermon came back to FedEx, his parents would have a huge tailgate for everyone. So I'd always go out there, say hi to everyone from back home. But I'm telling you, it's just...
200-300 people the first time we was at FedEx.
Is that right?
It's
epic,
though.
Yeah, they fed 200-300 people, man.
And the food, that's just so good. So I'm looking forward to it, and hopefully we can get down there. All right, let's make our predictions for Vikings, 49ers. We just broke the game down. A couple other notes, I guess, would be, here's why I think the Vikings are in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
The Saints did not get to Kirk Cousins.
Right.
And I actually think they had a flawed defensive plan, to be honest. They played more base than I would have thought. They kind of sat back on some third downs and let him throw the ball. Cousins, if you give him time, he will kill you. I mean, he can make every throw. He can be flustered, though. I'm sure you played with quarterbacks like this where if they get hit early, if you start to have to pat the football.
Those ghosts.
You start seeing things. To me, San Francisco is going to harass him. They're going to get to him. They're going to rush the quarterback. They have a bunch of heat-seeking missiles who could do it. Nick Bosa, DeForest Buckner, Eric Armstead. So I think they rush the quarterback well. I actually think they win, and I think they cover -7. I think they win by 8 or more. So I'm taking San Francisco -7 in this game.
San Francisco tied for 5th in the league in sacks. San Francisco top 5 in tackles for a loss.
You know, I hope I'm wrong because I want to see Cousins continue to prove dumb people wrong. But at -7, I think that line's about right, and I think they win by at least a touchdown.
Top 5 in sack percentage, and this is the key to me. This is the recipe for a great defense, a truly great defense. They blitz the 4th fewest percentage points in the league. So other teams are doing this.
Really?
Yes, they don't
need
to blitz.
So that's just winning up front, like one-on-one.
They can cover your guy, and they can get after your guy.
That's those first four, those first rounders they have up there.
Grown men up front. I like San Francisco in this game. Minnesota, I'm tempted because of what they just did to New Orleans to say maybe this is something they can build on. I think all the momentum goes out the window because San Francisco's defense is excellent.
I also read a lot of people talk about wild cards going on runs. There hadn't been a wild card team win a Super Bowl, or I don't even think get close.
Since the Ravens,
The Ravens in 12. So you're talking about 8 playoffs ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to do. And this is normally one of those weeks where you separate those 13-3 really good teams from the teams that had to fight their way in the end. You know, Minnesota, as an example, I know week 17 was kind of a lost game, whatever. But the last couple weeks of the season, not at their best. They had an unbelievable performance against the Saints. We'll see if they can carry it over. Where are you at against the spread on that game?
I think Minnesota covers it, but San Francisco wins.
So within 7. Yeah. Gotcha. All right, Jermon, what do you got?
San Francisco 49ers have been playing well all year. I do think they win. I think they win by – they could possibly win this game by 10.
Okay.
I think, the Vikings did a good job of keeping the Saints off balance because they ran the ball so well. They ran it early. They ran it often. And then they mixed play actions in. And Kirk Cousins really didn't drop back for that many, protections. And you're right. The Saints did not get to him. The Vikings offensive line did a pretty stout job up front, and they picked up all the blitzes that they pretty much threw at him. But if San Francisco, I think this is San Francisco's time. They need to get it done.
So let's get to the second game on Saturday, and that's your nightcap. The Titans are at the Ravens. And I think the majority of the conversation we'll have and everyone around the country discusses when it comes to this game is Lamar Jackson. But before we get to that, I think we should talk Tannehill because you played with him. The kickoff is 8:15 Eastern on CBS, 59-degree forecast. Ian Eagle, Dan Fouts, Evan Washburn on the call. This is one of your biggest betting lines in the playoffs yet. This is the biggest of the weekend. -10 for Baltimore. They are huge favorites in this game. So let's start with Tannehill. Are you surprised with the second half he just had? I watched him for years in Miami. You were blocking for part of that time.
Mm-hmm.
He was never this comfortable or this confident. He had 22 touchdowns and 6 picks, 117 rating. In fact, in the second half of the season, he might have been the most efficient quarterback in the league. How did he do this?
He throws a good deep ball. I think we've seen that. And he's been definitely leaning on Derrick Henry. I went back and watched that first game. You got to ride that, you know. But Tannehill's a guy who's pretty good outside the pocket. And I think you got to go back and you got to look at the whole situation. You know, Tannehill went back to he wasn't a starter. You know, he was the face of a franchise. Now you're behind Marcus Mariota, and now you get this opportunity. So maybe something could have sparked for him. I really think that's what it was. I just think he's taking advantage of this opportunity he has. But I like the way he throws the ball. He can get outside the pocket. Just keep managing the game. Don't give Lamar any short fields in this game.
You let Derrick Henry run roughshod all over you. That led to 14 points. No disrespect to what he did. He's great. I begrudgingly had to admit that he's really, really good. I initially wanted nothing to do with that kind of a running back, the big bruiser, Christian Okoye type, right? Who, you know, looks like a truck trying to make a K-turn in an alleyway. But that dude is excellent. He's just keeps putting up huge numbers. You're not going to get to do that against Baltimore. You're just not. A, Baltimore's defense is pretty good. But B, you've got to have something dynamic. You've got to match them score for score. Tennessee's rush defense is pretty good. Not against these guys. This is different. This is not, we're going to hand it off to our tailback and see if he can have a hole. It ain't that, man. You have no idea where that ball's going on either side. Tennessee's got to be dynamic. You need home runs from A.J. Brown. You need a catch and run from Jonnu Smith that goes for, that's a field-changing kind of thing. You need a Derrick Henry home run. You got to have a bunch of big plays against Baltimore. Their secondary is now a lot better with Marcus Peters playing the way that he should play. Jimmy Smith unheralded. Baltimore blitzes a ton. That may be where Tannehill can get him. Baltimore's the number one blitzing team in the league because they don't really have a true pass rush. They can't just rush with four or whatever and get home. They get after the quarterback. Maybe you block it up, call something right, you can get a shot or two.
The reason I don't love this matchup for the Titans as much as everyone's saying is I loved them playing New England because New England wasn't going to score.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The Titans are going to play D, and as you said, they're going to run the ball. They're not going to score a lot. Points come from the passing game. My question is, can they get A.J. Brown going? He did almost nothing last week.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best rookie receiver in football this year. Here in
so
D.C.
Good.
He didn't have to do anything.
He didn't have to, you're right. But they won by a point. The right. Patriots had 6-7 possessions, it seemed like, when they could have taken the lead. It wasn't like they weren't involving him because they were so comfortably in front. They couldn't really get the ball to him. Can they against Baltimore? You've got Marcus Peters, Marlon Humphrey. They play a lot of man coverage. That's the matchup for me of the game, maybe of the weekend. The Ravens average 33.4 points per game. For the Titans to win this game, they have to make big plays in the passing game. And I don't know who else other than him will really do that. So to me, he's got to go for a hundo. He's got to catch a touchdown. They have to get something easy like 65, 70 yards at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't see it last week. They were doing it at times in play action in the second half of the year. But it's not going to be some 17-14 slugfest like it was against New England. We just haven't seen anyone play Baltimore that way. And we'll make our picks on this game as we continue to work our way through the NFL playoffs on Grant and Danny. Jermon Bushrod's in studio. You're listening to The Fan. I just put half of a donut in front of Danny.
Oh.
We'll see how long it lasts.
Not long. Come on, Jermon.
No.
Jermon was
Is that why you put this over here? I'm going to just slide it away.
Now it's in between us.
Jermon was kind enough to stop.
It's
he
so
knows
nice.
Me. He knows the kind of donuts that I like.
Delicious
my local
ones.
Donut establishment for many years in King George, Paul's Bakery, then became Howard's Bakery.
Yeah. That's shout out to Shannon.
That's right. Shannon picked him up.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm trying to stay away from the bakeries.
Well, you and I both. But she knew. She wanted to make some friends here at the radio station, how to do it.
Friends have been made.
So you guys were kind enough to stop and get us donuts. And they even threw in, these are like the king cakes, New Orleans style?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it tastes as good as New Orleans one, but I
bet you it's pretty good.
I didn't even know she had those. She saved those for y'all separate.
Extra
in the special.
Oh my gosh! Well, remember when we saw you in New Orleans? We basically ate 27 meals at Brennan's and places around the city.
Yeah, shout out to Brennan's, man.
No one has ever looked grosser than us. Like after day four, yeah. I mean, it was bad.
Yeah.
How much weight did you gain on that trip? Do you remember?
I think that was in 4 days. I think that was about 16 pounds. That's my per day record.
Do you know how easy it is just to get off your routine in New Orleans? Like, if you go to a breakfast spot, you're like, I want to try this and that. And next thing you know, you eat it. Same thing for lunch.
Going to Cafe Du Monde. And
how does anyone else in New Orleans stay in any shape? What a town that is.
I don't think they do.
Eating a house. I was just down there last weekend, and I was like, I'm not going out. I think we went out for dinner one time.
Everything do you still have a place there or no?
No, I don't.
Okay, so basically you're here in Miami, or do you not have a place in Florida either?
No, I live in Fort Lauderdale.
Okay, full time.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So if I'm you, I would have some kind of place in New Orleans just to go hang out, get there, maybe
sure.
do dinner for a couple straight days.
For sure.
But when you play there, like the Saints, nobody actually lives like near the French Quarter, correct? I mean, you're outside enough that you're not
Some guys do live, no players live in the French Quarter. That's, you know, that's just a different part of the area. It's very busy, hard to get in and kind of.
Right. How are you going to sleep at night?
Right. But,
Monday in February, people are just losing it, you know?
A mile outside of the French Quarter, yeah, for sure. Actually, my last year there, I stayed in the city in a great spot there, and I enjoyed every bit of it. But
I wonder about that with Vegas is about to get a team.
Mm-hmm.
To me.
Vegas flew.
I think it's a huge, huge, huge advantage if teams are disciplined when you're in Vegas. I know the Vegas Golden Knights, the hockey team, has talked about this. Because guys come to your town and they'll go out. You know, players aren't sitting in their house all night long. But, you know, if you're responsible, especially the NFL is a little different because it's once a week you're playing.
And we have a curfew. So.
And a curfew, but does everyone follow the curfew?
I did. Look, yeah, I'm not breaking it because they're definitely digging those pockets if you
not as many Sonny Jurgensens as
but
as
seriously, I think when there's a team in Vegas, just like a team in New Orleans, I think those can be built-in advantages. When you're in a town where you're staying
in
a hotel,
yeah.
Miami too. But like there's plenty of places where, as an example, Washington, D.C. is pretty popping, right? But when teams came to play the Redskins, they often stay like out by FedEx Field or sometimes in the National Harbor area now, which wasn't that built up before that. It's not like you're going anywhere. I just think if I was responsible for setting up the reservations for the visiting team, I'm like, we're putting you right here near everything.
Right.
It can't hurt you any.
Right.
And exactly. I want to know how players are going to do the Vegas thing. Is that good or bad for recruiting players to play for you in Vegas?
I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, you got to worry about your own players,
yeah,
you know, because
exactly.
You can get caught up in that lifestyle out there. And yeah.
So it could be good in the sense that some of the best food in the world, I mean, you know, they're poaching, paying like ridiculous amounts of money,
yeah.
Like the best, the 5-star Michelin, whatever, from this place to that place. So great food options, but then it's also the entertainment options that you're talking
it's a
about.
Lot,
That's
it's
the
a
challenge,
lot going
yeah.
On.
All right, so let's talk Ravens then for a moment in the Titans. Is there any way Lamar Jackson gets stopped? Because here's what I worry about a little bit. If he had this amazing regular season with 36 touchdown passes and then rushes for 1,200 yards, you go into this game, he might not have Mark Ingram. I think not having Mark Ingram is a detriment to
Absolutely.
Them being themselves.
In the passing game especially, I think. He's a sneaky good receiver, had 5 receiving touchdowns this year.
But just everything they do off that read option, you're not tackling him one-on-one up front with just your normal number of linebackers.
No.
You're filling that box. And you know this because you played with him in New Orleans.
Right.
I'd make the case. You were on that team last year with him. He gets taken off that squad. I mean, it's a different game now for the Saints. They're not as good.
No, I mean, Mark just he brings something different, not just on the field. You see what he can do on the field, but he's the ultimate locker room guy. You know, he's the guy that you want in your corner because he's always going to be there hyping you up. I mean, you see the sound bites he's had this past year.
We saw that with Jackson.
Yeah, but that's Mark every day in the locker room. You know, he's just a guy that brings the energy. He brings the passion of football, and he brings guys closer. And if he's not on that field for Baltimore, I think this game can get pretty interesting. That's just my opinion.
Mm. So if I'm saying Ingram out, little deal, big deal, you're saying big deal.
I think it's a big deal.
Same with you, Danny?
This week, little deal. When I think you've got to face a better opponent. If he's still not playing, then it becomes a bigger deal.
So like if they had to play the Chiefs next week and he still wasn't.
That's where I think you really need someone like that.
I could see that because you lack that firepower. What would a Super Bowl for Lamar Jackson do for football? Now, what would if the Ravens went to and won the Super Bowl with Jackson at the controls in a season in which a lot of people like me at the beginning of the year were skeptical? I watched 2012 explode in my face with Robert Griffin. We've seen Colin Kaepernick get there and within a couple years regress as a passer, and we know why he's out of the league. Obviously, it's not just football. But if Jackson's able to scale the mountain as a dual threat, running around as much as he is when everyone was telling him to stop doing it because he's going to get hurt, does it change the game forever? Is it just one guy and you say, well, there's not another Lamar Jackson? Or is it a transcendent moment for the league?
I mean, I think just look at the success somebody like Russell Wilson's had. You know, he's a big dual threat as well. You know, he's a guy who can live outside the pocket. He can beat you on your feet, you know, with his feet. He can definitely beat you through the air because you've seen the numbers he's put up this year and past years. But if Lamar Jackson can squeak out a Super Bowl, does it change the narrative? Definitely, because you know you have your guys like your Deshaun Watsons and even Josh Allen in Buffalo. I love the fact that these defenses are getting better. The rules are getting weird. So if you have a guy who can beat you on the ground and through the air, why not? Why not take it? Why not have that in your arsenal?
It got me thinking about something. Russell Wilson's obviously Super Bowl champion. Has a running quarterback ever won the Super Bowl, though? Because I think of Russell Wilson as a passer who's an athlete. Like, he scrambles, he makes plays, he extends plays. He's got...
Because the rushing totals haven't been there the last few years.
No. I would still make the case, and I'm not one of these guys who says that they can't, some, like, Skip Bayless hot taker, but I would say that a running quarterback has never won a Super Bowl, which is why I think if the Ravens do it with Lamar Jackson, it would be such a big deal, because forever, you couldn't say that it hasn't happened. And it's also different with Lamar. Like, the Seahawks are not majoring in Russell Wilson as a rusher.
Right.
Lamar Jackson is the leading rusher for the Ravens. They're designing 10, 12, 14 runs a game for him. And with scrambles, he's often upwards of 20 carries a game. This is something you see in, like, obscure college football conferences. The idea that that would work in the NFL to win a championship, more people than not would just tell you no way. And that's why I think there is so much on the line for the Ravens as far as just changing, you use the word the narrative, changing the perception, the narrative, yeah, this postseason.
Well, there's, in the history of our planet, things are impossible until they're not.
Right.
Right? Dudes are in space. We're going to go to Mars at some point. You know, the 4-minute mile was impossible. This style of football was impossible. You can't win a World Series without starting pitching. You can't win a World Series without this or that. There's different ways to do it, different ways to compete. And it always takes somebody that's bold enough to do it a different way where people are going, no, not conventional. Well, yeah, that's the point. It's not conventional.
How about John Harbaugh is that guy?
Exactly right. Before it gets copied.
And he was smart because they said, who ran the 2012 49ers when Cap went nuts against the Packers? Mm. Oh, Greg Roman. Let's bring him in. And don't make this square peg a round hole.
Think about the number of steps
Lamar Jackson does.
Trading
well.
Back into the first round, drafting multiple tight ends over the course of a year. People going, what are these guys doing? You're getting Joe Flacco more
plan.
Tight ends? They had a plan, and they've executed it. And look at them, the number one seed in the whole sport. So to me, this will be the – now, listen, it's easy to say, go find another Lamar Jackson. Well, good luck with that, dude.
Good luck with that.
How about once there's been a guy that can do this?
Well, and that's the thing is everyone's going to make whatever the next scrambling, running, athletic quarterback. Like, everyone wants to present Jalen Hurts as Lamar Jackson. I don't mean as good as him, but you're talking about stylistically very different guys.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The point spread is minus 10, as I mentioned. Baltimore is favored. I say Ravens win, but Titans cover. I would take Tennessee and points. I think plus 10 is a lot. They also can keep games close because of how long they stay on the field with these long, sustained drives, even though it doesn't lead to points because they don't throw the ball well enough, in my opinion, against Baltimore. But I think Tennessee plus 10, Baltimore wins. What do you got?
I can agree with that. I don't think Baltimore wins by 10, especially if you don't have 21 in the backfield. And Tennessee is going to find – Tennessee, they understand what they have to do. They have to use Derrick Henry. And they, like you said, they're going to stay on the field. They're going to extend these drives. Find a way to get him in the end zone. Tannehill can make a play through the air. He throws one of the best deep balls I've seen. But I don't know if they have enough. So I would say
would
they
you
don't
be
cover.
Stunned if they won, though?
I would not.
If they won outright, would you be shocked?
I wouldn't. It all depends on, you know, you're talking to a lineman here, so I'm going to, you know, if the offensive line can move these big guys that Baltimore has in the middle, get them moving side to side. But the thing is, though, they're so good at linebacker and corner, like somebody like Peters, he plays the run pretty well. And,
yeah.
And Jimmy Smith is a big DB. So I would not be, especially, like I said, if 21 doesn't play, I think the whole, I think your defense, If Mark Ingram does not play this game, it's definitely a plus for Tennessee. They're just going to have to make Lamar Jackson beat them through the air.
To me, I would be surprised if Tennessee does it. I think this is a Ravens route. I think it's.
Ooh, you're taking them minus 10?
I think it's a three-score game. I think
wow.
Baltimore rolls. Tennessee, nice story.
He is killing the Titans right now.
I think it's a good season, good story. They're on the way. They need a couple more things on both sides of the football. Mike Vrabel, you guys are on the way. Not your time. There's another team, it's whose time it is, and it's Baltimore.
So that's your Saturday slate. Coming up next hour, we'll break down the Texans and the Chiefs and the Seahawks and the Packers on Grant and Danny. Jermon Bushrod's in studio in the 1 o'clock hour. Your thoughts on the Redskins front office shakeup. The Beltway Blitz is next on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.